we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running for a Tuesday here in Brevard County, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Or if you're listening on the AM dial or one of the corresponding frequencies, that would be WWBC 1510 AM. So thank you for tuning in and feeding your spirit. I think it's a very important thing that take care of our spiritual health. A lot of people will spend a lot of time focusing on their nutritional health, their physical health, their mental health, their financial health, but we also need to take care of the spiritual aspect of us. On yesterday's program, we were talking about the temporary versus the eternal, and we spend much of our time fixated on the here and now. We need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves spiritually as well as in these other areas. I'm not saying to exclude the others. I'm saying, hey, let's make sure that we are in good shape with our relationship with Jesus. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I do pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and our church is now in its 67th year of ministry. And July, we've got some interesting things that are coming up. We will be scaling our schedule back, not for forever, but for 1 month period of time, so that we can position ourselves appropriately, so that we are ready to go forward in God during the fall month. So you can hear, we'll give you more information on those schedule changes here that are coming up in the days ahead. Now, we are going through the Beatitudes. That is what we have started out to do. There's a particular, just the Beatitudes, but the Sermon on the Mount. We started out this study because God dropped a verse into my spirit, and I haven't even got to that verse yet. We started on the Beatitudes. We hit, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, and we've been talking about persecution ever since. The first 12 verses are not the only time that persecution is discussed on the sermon or in the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're going to take you to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43, and there's going to be some steps that Jesus shared with those and will share with us on how to deal with persecution as well. So Matthew chapter 5 is where we are going to be today. Verse number 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Here it says, you have heard that it was said. Now, there are many people that whenever they hear something said, they just automatically believe it. There are a lot of memes that pop up on Facebook, and you'll have to forgive me, but I believe that a lot of those memes are designed to make the people that share them look foolish. There was one here that I saw a few weeks ago about two very large fish that had been caught. And I mean, they were very, very large. And it looks very much like a legitimate photo. People were able to identify the fish by that. But they said that they were caught someplace that they don't exist. And so my response was, they weren't caught there because they don't exist there, but those are still, that's still a very impressive fish. Now, it would be lousy eating, but it makes a great fish story. A number of memes that show up have typos in them that I believe are intentional. There's a lot of people out there that are promoting things to others so that the people who promote them will look foolish. There are a lot of things that Christians believe that that aren't biblical. Okay, you and I, we need to make sure that that the spiritual truths that we're aspiring to and that we're believing, they actually come from the Word of God. Several years ago, someone asked me a question, and they said, "Where does it say in the Bible? I've looked all over for it, and I can't find it. Where does it say this too shall pass?" Well, the answer to that question is it doesn't say that. Another one is, where does it say that healing is the children's bread? Well, that's another saying that doesn't exist. There's reasons that those statements are popular. Another one is, well, God helps those that help themselves. Well, in actuality, God helps those who can't help themselves. You and I are not supposed to be slothful once we have received the assistance of God, but we are supposed to be diligent in working and laboring for Him. There are a lot of people that once they got saved, they thought that they were done. I mean, they've got their feet kicked up. They're just waiting for the spiritual bus to come and take them to heaven. You're meant to, it is true. You and I are not saved by our works, but we work because we are saved. So a lot of old proverbs and wise tales, and I said that intentionally that way, are just that. They sound good to the ear, but they aren't necessarily true. So Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." That sounds really good. That appeals to the flesh. That gives us justification for having disdain for somebody. But verse number 44 begins with the word "but." And that means that Jesus is getting ready to bring some divine correction to an erroneous statement. "But I say to you, love your enemies." Okay? And so when Jesus says, "But I say to you," you've got to realize that that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is speaking. That is the one who was and is to come speaking. That's not an instruction that is going to be here for a moment and then it's going to change some other time. It is a now word. It is an eternal word. It is an authoritative word. So if anybody says anything substandard to this, you're just going to have to say, "Well, I appreciate that, but I'm operating from a higher authority than you." So you and I are not just supposed to love one another. We are supposed to love our enemies. Why would Jesus say this? Well, the Bible says that we were at enmity. That means we were the enemies of God. We were hostile towards God. We were fighting against God. And yet during that time, God showed great love for us and sent forth His Son to die on the cross for us. Jesus is not just saying for us to do that. He will never tell you to do something that He hasn't already done Himself. He is a God who loves those. He loves those who are opposed to Him. Okay? And that is not just a mental position. Love is an action word. Okay? And so I pray that God will drop a seed of love into your heart that will cause people to say, hey, why did you do that? Well, it's because I love you. There are people that I have encountered through the years that they treated me badly. And I just continued to show them love, and they never did change completely. But they did change their attitude towards me. It was no longer did they treat me like an enemy. They treated me like a friend, like a neighbor, and things got a lot better. You see, if you treat people the way that they treat you, that's never going to provoke change in them. But whenever we love them, even though they are hostile towards us, that brings about the change. Now I think that you can also let people know that, hey, you know, that's not something that makes me happy. There are literally some people who will do things and they are oblivious and completely unaware that they are doing something that either annoys you or it is something that injures you. Okay? So you need to be able to communicate that to people in a way and say, look, I don't appreciate it when people lie just for convenience sake. I don't like being lied to, period. I'm a horrible liar. That's why I'll tell you the truth, because I'm a horrible liar. Of all the things to be bad at, that's one of the things that you really should be bad at. So love your enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you. That is the exact opposite of what we would be expected to do from a natural standpoint. So what we have to do is we have to choose to operate from a supernatural standpoint and from a natural standpoint. Now, the other thing that I will tell you about these actions that Jesus is encouraging people to take in a hostile atmosphere is that these things indicate that we have a choice. And with choices, there are benefits or consequences. And that's what Jesus is telling us here is you and I, we may not have a choice in how others treat us, but we have a choice in how we're going to respond to them. Remember earlier this week, I was talking about the temporary versus the eternal. Okay, and so we get to choose. Are we going to do what makes us feel good right now, or are we going to choose to respond in a manner that is going to minister to somebody and could change their eternity? Okay, but I say to you, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. Okay? This means that it is not just something that we're going to speak with our mouth. It's not just an emotion that we're going to have, but now we are going to put tangible wheels on this vehicle of love. Okay? What's it say? Do good to those who hate you. If someone hates you, is the goal to reinforce that hatred, or is it to bring about greater information and revelation to that person so that they change their demeanor to you? Because I can reinforce a person's hatred to me, or I can respond in a manner that is going to cause people to see, hey, I'm not the person that you think I am. I do know of a situation, a pretty high profile situation, where a person was creating a great deal of agitation for this one particular organization, and the CEO of that corporation said, you know what? I'm going to do something that this person would never expect. And you know what he did? He befriended the person. This person expected to be treated one way, and instead he was treated with Christian love. He was treated like a very important person. They were able to have civil discourse and dialogue. And this person that had been very hostile and outspoken wrote about his newfound friendship. And even though it did not bring a change in lifestyle, it did bring a change in attitude that this person had. And when he wrote about this change of attitude, then suddenly he was vilified, and people started accusing him of being a sellout and all that sort of stuff. And all of that happened because there was one believer that said, I am going to put Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44 into practice, and I am going to love this person. I am going to bless them. Now, I believe that the first and initial blessing that a person can truly experience is repentance from God. I believe that repentance is a blessing. I believe it is something to be celebrated, not something to be ashamed of. And so he went out and he blessed them, and he did kind things to them. Now, in all of this, he never one time gave his endorsement to the area that they had a disagreement in. He said, I just want to show you what a Christian actually looks like. I wonder how many people in our society would maybe have a different attitude if we looked at our goal at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Okay? And now, Let me tell you this. I'm not a perfect person. God is a perfect God. You're not a perfect person. But we are not supposed to make excuses for our imperfections. We are supposed to be striving for spiritual maturity and spiritual perfection so that when people see us, they see the Father. We are supposed to be striving to give people a more accurate reflection of God's face as it shines upon us. Okay? Our imperfections distort that. There are a lot of people who think that God is just up there condoning of their sinful behavior and their carnal philosophies, and that's not true. But he always calls us to speak the truth in love. So let's remember to strive for spiritual maturity and say, God, how can I best reflect you in this situation? Because that's how you bring about cultural change. You don't bring it about on a mass level. You bring it about on an individual level where you build a relationship with someone and you give them an adequate reflection. So there are literally tens of millions of believers in the United States of America. There are hundreds of millions that are still needing to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And I think that we would benefit in bringing about conversions to Christianity if we had it in ourselves, say, God, I want to make sure that I represent you well, and I give these people a glorious representation of who Jesus is. I've got people that I've got decades-long relationships, and my goal is to still see them put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the only way that I can do that is to continue to represent him well. Okay? Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So we see that this is, that sometimes this is going to manifest, these people, hatred is going to manifest in tangible ways that is going to make life painful, going to make life unpleasant, going to make life uncomfortable. He said, how do you respond to people who are doing that to you? He says, well, the way that you do that is you pray for them. I've always loved this line from Ed Silvoso, who said, before you talk to your neighbor about God, be sure and talk to God about your neighbor. You and I, listen, there was a battle in the Old Testament when Saul was king, and they were busy not engaging the enemy, and Jonathan and his armor bearer engaged the enemy, but they said, okay, God, we're going to position ourselves where the enemy knows that we're here, and we're going to wait upon you. And if this is their response, we're going to know this isn't the right time. But if this is their response, we're going to go ahead and we're going to see victory. And they got that response, and the enemy was being defeated, and Saul was about to pray, what do I do with this situation? And he told the person, he said, withdraw your hand. I don't want to wait for God's answer. The enemy's on the run. I'm going to pursue them right now. There's another battle in the book of Judges, I believe it is. The battle over the Levite's wife that was killed and was treated horribly. Sodom and Gomorrah had come to the children of Israel is basically what had happened. It was very, very similar to what had happened with Lot. And there was this tremendous battle. And they prayed, but they had to continue to hone in on the specifics of their prayer, because until they got the specifics, they continued to find themselves acting in a manner that that didn't yield the result. One of the things about the Assemblies of God is I am thankful that we are in relationship with one another. I have a presbyter that pastors in Volusia County. He is the authority over my life. He and I were having a conversation, and I don't remember if this was in a private part of our conversation or if this was in a meeting where he shared this. Both of them took place. And he was talking about this person, and he gave them this little nugget of wisdom. He said, do only what God tells you to do. He said, don't do anything more. Don't do anything less than what God tells you. In a very, very painful situation. Don't do anything more or anything less than what God tells you to do in this situation. Don't speak anything more or anything less than what God tells you to do. Do you know what that means? That means that person was going to have to go and was going to have to pray and was going to have to hear from God. God, how do you want me to proceed in this situation? Okay? And so how do you handle people who are your enemies? You don't hate them the way that the world would tell you. You know, there are some people who operate in this world under a different life philosophy, if you will, that says if you treat people bad, that you are going to be rewarded in heaven for that. I want you to see that Jesus said that when you love your enemies, when you bless those who curse you, when you do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you, that you are passing the spiritual DNA test. You, at that point in time, are revealing by your actions that God is your heavenly Father. Verse number 45 says that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You know, if you were checking for relationship, they would draw blood, they would find a sample of your tissue, and they would run DNA analysis on it. And you would be determined to be related if there were certain markers in the DNA. Jesus is saying that we're not going to be able to do that based on who your mama and who your daddy is from a spiritual standpoint. The way that you pass a spiritual DNA test that reveals that God is your heavenly Father is you do it by walking in obedience to the things that Jesus said, and it manifests in how you deal with people who are persecuting you. If you're going through a difficult time right now, I just want to encourage you, don't allow the root of bitterness and hatred to reside in your heart. Instead, I want to tell you what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Love, the love that is being talked about here, that can only come from God. So don't expect to say, oh, there's that love. I literally, when I came into the studio here today, I looked all over the house for something last night, and I couldn't find it. And I came in today, and I opened up my Bible, and there was what I had looked through two vehicles. I had looked all through my bedroom, all through my dining room table. I looked through my toolbox and everything, and I found it when I opened my Bible. The love that you are called to manifest is something you can only find in your relationship with God. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. That means that you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to give you the words to say. And he said, do good to those, make it an action plan. And he said, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's going to be the way that we reveal our spiritual heavenly Father to this day and time. The result, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That means that you and I, we're going to have to act like mature believers. And God can help us do that. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.